Hi there, and thanks for tuning in to our Start to Blockchain podcast. I'm Stefan Collins, CMO at Venly, and I'm happy to welcome you to our very first episode. Start to Blockchain is Venly's podcast all about how blockchain technology is bringing real value to enterprises and helping businesses improve and innovate. Our goal is to make blockchain easy to understand and show how it makes a real difference. Today, I'm talking to Koen Vingerhoets, who is blockchain evangelist and business architect at Fujitsu's Blockchain Lab. Koen is a true expert in using blockchain to solve practical problems for companies. We'll be diving into real-world examples, exploring the benefits of blockchain, and talking about some of the challenges that business face. Let's get right into it. Hi Koen, thanks for joining us. Can you start telling us about your role at Fujitsu and how you got into the world of blockchain?
Okay, Stefan. Well, thanks for having me. So my name is Koen. I'm a master in law, actually. Graduated in 2000. Started working in technology after that, in IT. I did a little bit of everything until I became a lawyer for a very short while. And then I switched to the financial sector, where I worked for over a decade. And it's in the financial sector around 2014 that I picked up Bitcoin. Well, again, I would say I saw it before, but sort of like, I don't understand anything of this. I tossed it aside, but then it became a bit more seen in the financial sector, more questions popped up. And I studied it a little bit and wanted to understand whether or not the whole idea of Bitcoin is going to disrupt the financial sector was true or not, because, well, financial sector was paying my paycheck.
And was it from the technical point of view, or was it from the financial aspect that you, the first touch, I guess, was from the financial part because of blockchain, but then you suddenly saw there's a technology behind, there's blockchain.
Indeed. It started with the financial, fear. If Bitcoin would keep its promise, then I would be without a paycheck. Yeah, but okay. I had a mortgage, so I had to understand what it actually meant. And so I've been working on blockchain ever since, so since 2013, 2014. I also spent some time at Deloitte, and today I'm at Fujitsu, where I'm blockchain evangelist. I fell into the Bitcoin trap, I would say. Went through the hole all the way, like Alice in Wonderland, and I'm still going through that hole, discovering new and crazy things along the way. But yeah. I've been focused most of the time on enterprise blockchain and also more on the business side, rather than the tech side.
Okay, cool, interesting. And like to set the tone here of our chat, like if blockchain could like solve one ridiculous problem in enterprise or whatever, what would that be in your mind? I know it's a ridiculous question, but it's not the financial part or from the financial side, but it's more from the technical, like the blockchain technology.
Well, I think one of the biggest challenges companies have today is related to their value chains, where they still exchange a lot of data. If you look at the digital product passport, for example, which is EU regulation, there also data has to be exchanged. And I think it's still silly we keep posting data to each other, while it would be so much easier to have evidence of the existence of data on chain, a hash, and just refer to the data, make it available rather than copy. If everything would be on IPFS, the Interplanetary File System, everybody would have access to data if they would know the hash. So it's a different way of organizing, and I think that's a problem that blockchain should solve, how we exchange information with each other. And how we guarantee we're exchanging the right information with the right people on the right time.
Yeah, okay, very interesting. And just like a little bridge to DPP, Digital Product Passport, not going way too in detail, but it's from the European government, right? But it's centralized again. You know, they're creating a one big database, centralized database, and they're not focusing on technology specific, but more on how they can bring all the data together. It feels a bit like a missed opportunity to use the technology blockchain for the interoperability part. What's your opinion?
Absolutely. So today the EU wants to have this DPP in place, but it's up to the industry to organize it. And as far as I understand, they are, of course, technology neutral, but they insist that the solution is decentralized. But they're not going to say blockchain, because then they make a technology choice, which they indeed don't want to do. But well, there are several projects ongoing to understand whether or not blockchain could be used. It's at least not ditched up front. So it is a viable solution, positive, to my understanding, for the EU.
Yeah, it's positive. And I also saw, like, a part of it is you should keep your backup for 25 years. And I think here again, blockchain can be a potential very good solution. Not centralized, not controlled by whoever. Even though if a company stops working, your data is still available on the blockchain. And I think this is, again, very interesting.
If you want to look at circular economy, then it makes sense to keep things as circular as possible. If you take, for example, aluminium in airplanes, an airplane flies for 45 years. The aluminium is a special grade, a special certificate. You can't just put anything in an airplane. Purpose at the end is to recycle it. And for that, you need to have those certificates from 45 years ago. Well, I think that's a gamble if you do that today. But if you would store data on chain, or in IPFS, or keep it secure, but at least publishable or reachable, that would make a whole different game to play.
Yeah, but I think it's already a good sign from the UI that the EU that they want to work on interoperability of the data. I think this is already a very interesting thing. And let's see how deep blockchain will be involved. I know with some companies, even Belgium companies, are working on solutions for that. So let's see where that goes. So if I now can zoom in a bit more on you and what you're doing, because I, of course, checked your LinkedIn, and I have to say you have quite an amazing experiences so far. You're a blockchain evangelist and architect at Fujitsu. You're a member of strategy board at Blockchain for Belgium. You're executive in residence at the Vlerk Business School. So you also teach about blockchain, cryptocurrency, and all the stuff. But why blockchain? Like, how did you first see the potential in blockchain? I already know, like, your story from the Bitcoin in 2014, but yeah, you took a different direction, and it's now your career. Your entire career is built about blockchain, and blockchain. So why blockchain?
Yeah, well, it's hard to explain, I think. I remember at Belfius, my colleague Ruben Jevaert, he used to say it's like a disease. Once you're contaminated, you cannot get rid of it. I think it's a fair way to look at it. Once you understand the benefits it could bring, it's hard to imagine why other people don't see it. I mean, you can explain it 10,000 times that you're exchanging data all the time, or value or rights, and it is a more efficient system, which is blockchain, but then everybody has to use it. I mean, it's a whole lot of things to explain, or that have to be in place before it can be whatever it promises. Once you understand how it could not disrupt, I hate the word disruption, that's war, that's Ukraine, that's disruption, how it could revolutionize, or how it could speed up any evolution focused on efficiency, efficacy, on speed of exchange of data, it's amazing. But then you just need to have this one single layer underneath systems to exchange data in a better way. And it's so obvious if you see it from that approach. I do this. I still have to convince people about the value, and I keep doing it.
Yeah, I feel your, I think many people do.
Yeah. Once you see the benefits, it becomes really hard to understand that other people don't see those benefits.
Yeah, you sure? Yeah, you can't unsee it anymore. It's like, it's obvious. You can do this and this and this. And of course, they maybe say, yeah, you're a business. You need to show these values and all the stuff. But at the end of the day, it can help in several businesses and several industries, indeed, I guess, to optimize a lot of stuff. And talking about the value, like, is there a specific case you have in mind that shows or deliver value with blockchain technology as an example to share? Because this is also interesting for listeners to understand, like, okay, blockchain is very techy, but yeah, an example to share, very simple, how blockchain is very efficient and what it does.
Now, so for one of our customers, a Dutch company called Textracer, we built a system to trace actions all along the production, the value chain of garments, of clothing. It provides a QR code, and you can scan the code and look back, and that's nice as a consumer. But from a business perspective, it's a compliance solution. Today, for garments, you have all sort of regulation you have to follow up on. You need to be able to find your suppliers soon for ESG reporting. You need to understand your value chain. There's so much regulation, like child labor, for example, that you have to adhere to, that it makes sense to fully understand who did what and to invite all those parties to act upon the right thing to do. So in this solution, every step is confirming that the previous step, that the evidence they provide on what they did is actually true. If you say this is organic cotton, then you need to show that you used organic fertilizer, that you have an invoice. And the next step will just approve the previous step, like, okay, this is done right. Does it provide full evidence? No. You can still cheat if you want. But just imagine that you are cheating. And all of a sudden, there is no question about what you did in the past because it's all on chain. Everything you ever did is all of a sudden questionable. So your entire history crumbles down. Whoever you worked with, everything is known. It's not only your history. It's everything you did for anybody in the world that becomes questionable. So there is an enormous driver in such a system to do the right thing. Now, if I would build this with a centralized database, you would just have to pay me enough in the end. Everything will be okay. And, well, I still trust that there are trusted third parties that do their work like it should be. Huh? But what if they don't? What if I don't want to have this discussion and want to make upfront it 100% sure that whatever happened is exactly like it happened when it happened, so that later on I can go back in time and make sure that people have a driver to do the right thing? For me, that's how blockchain adds value there. I can't see how you would build this without a blockchain.
Yeah, so it's not only about like the interoperability of data, but it's also about the source of truth, like transparency, like these buzzwords that people are using. But at the end of the day, it is what a blockchain is. It's a distributed ledger, but it gives a lot of transparency and all the things you did before in the past. So, and suddenly you're building up a stack of data that you can use to do analysis in the past, but also to show what you did before. So there's an interesting take here.
I remember the graph from Dave Birch. Do you need a blockchain? No. That's true. You don't need a blockchain, but you also don't need a database. You can still write things on stones or on the beach or even on the walls of your room. And you don't need a database to store things. You could use anything. But it's quite handy to use a database and to store it digitally, just like it's quite handy to use a blockchain for certain purposes like transparency, ownership of data, traceability of the data, the distributed character of the data, the smart contracts, the shared processes in the end, which results in trust. You can trust the system rather than the players who are building it. And I think that's a very strong proposition if those things are important for your use case.
Yeah, indeed. And I fully agree. Like blockchain and trust are like two words that you can combine, and which is very interesting and important for also enterprises. If you are an enterprise and you want to build on top of technology, and it should be trustworthy, you should be secure. Trust, secure is very, very important. Is this then the things you are using? Like, let's see how you with Fujitsu help businesses get started with blockchain. Is it always about data interoperability and transparency, or is there a specific approach you do with them? Is there a playbook to see how blockchain can be part of their business? Or are they coming to you and say, hey, I need blockchain in my company, how can we do this? Or do you also sometimes help the process before? Like, what do you want to achieve? Do you need blockchain or not? And if you need blockchain, yes, what's the next steps? Is this what you then do with Fujitsu?
Well, I think it's all of that. It's having this early discussion. I want to do X or Y. Should I use a blockchain? Or companies that come to us, I want to do X or Y and I want to use blockchain. Or indeed, just understand what challenges live in a company and see if we can find things that can be solved with blockchain or not with blockchain. Fujitsu does more than just blockchain offerings. But yeah, we have to start from a consulting approach in the end to understand the needs and then to see if blockchain adds sufficient value. For me, it's not a black and white thing. You have to make sure that soon enough, using blockchain technology adds enough business value to actually use it. It costs a little bit more to develop. It costs a little bit more to maintain. So there must be an advantage in using it. And once that is clear, we develop the business approach, technical approach, and then we start building.
Can I ask you something? You're mentioning like business value. This is for me, it's a bridge I need to take. What's business value like? I think based on a case, based on a project, or based on a company, they have other values. But are they common business values that you see in blockchain enterprises? Because it's always hard, like, how do you measure success? When do you start using blockchain? And how do you go down to the board and say, We implemented blockchain and it's a success. We need to keep doing this because, as you know, it needs specialists to integrate, or you need to educate your developers, whatever platform you use. What are these business values that people are using? Yeah.
Well, Stefan, I think you're touching a very, very sensitive point, or a very difficult point indeed within a company context, on how to see the business value or how to understand the business value. Every company has a different view on it, but I think blockchain doesn't make it easy to understand the business value either. If you use it to improve a process, well, your process is not going to be improved. Your process is going to be redesigned. It's going to be changed. It's not about you. It's about the collaboration with other parties. And you have to rethink this collaboration with other parties. What if we could exchange data on every given moment in time and ensure it's the right data no matter where you are in the value chain? It's not a value chain anymore. It's a value circle. How can we communicate in this value circle? And then you come up with an idea that looks great on paper. You can calculate yourself rich or poor. But in the end, if you want to compare the value return on investment, it's usually with how it would look like if you would just digitalize the process within the company. It's complex. It's like you're comparing a spoon with an apple, and I want to know which one flies the best. I don't know. But this is really the whole idea. If you cannot believe that it will change the system or the way of working for the better, it becomes very hard to evidence that blockchain is going to add the business value that is expected. And for me, after more than a decade in enterprise blockchain solutions, I tend to summarize it a bit, taking a shortcut with two things. One, it's a director that says, I don't understand a word of what you're saying, but I think this is what we ought to do. Let's do it. Or there is a government that says, I don't care about what you think. This is the way we should do it. That's why I'm a really vast supporter of Europeum, the project that inherited everything from EPSI and is now trying to commercialize it. That's government-driven, Belgium in the lead. 9 other countries have joined already. I think that's a very, very good approach to build a system on which other parties can, or build the pipelines on top of which other parties can build solutions. Or you need companies that say, well, let's go for it. Let's give it a shot and see what benefits it bring. We can make sure that the benefit is there on exchanging data. That's quite easy, but it's also not that valuable. The second one is aligning processes. Instead of everybody having their own process, you have one process on chain, and you know if this is the input, this will be the output, no matter who uses the process, whether it's your company, a company you work with for 10 years, or a new company, the process will be the same for all. Very, very strong in my opinion. And the third thing is, if it's not about data, if it's not about processes, you can look at new business models. We now have this pool of trusted data. What else could we do with it? Look at Google with Google Maps. They put it out in the open with the invitation for anybody to put or to build other business on top of it. Yeah. Well, if you have a pool of trusted data, data that is traceable, immutable, and auditable, what else could you do with this? And that's where the real benefit lies, in my opinion. But to get there, you need to take the first hurdle, which is prove that there is a benefit in improving collaboration. It's taking all these hurdles that is taking time, effort, and that is quite often shortcutted with. But yeah, if you just digitalize what we have today, it also works. Probably, yes.
Yeah, because it's digital transformation. And if you do the digital and the transformation, you already, you can go back to the board or whatever and say, yeah, we did some digital transformation, and maybe not looking further to see, okay, maybe there's another technology that can help me even make the next step to be future proof. And I guess this is an important one that companies these days think about, where will we be in 5 and in 10 years, and not just like from year to year, because, and I know it's hard, you're in your daily operational thing, you need to achieve your successes and all the stuff, but I think it's very important to think how can blockchain benefit. And like, if you help companies at Fujitsu with finding these common ground, how to use blockchain, do you start with like prototypes, small projects, I guess, because they're not coming in and say, hey, we're gonna change everything in the company, and Koen, please help us, we want to do this and this and 6 months. I guess it's always with a prototype that you start, or with a little proof of concept, because as you know, there's a lot of buzz around blockchain and there are a lot of ecosystems. And if someone is a developer at a company and he is in a specific ecosystem and they say, hey, you need to do this on chain X, Y, Z because of that. Yeah, it's hard, I guess, as a decision maker or as a company that needs to choose technology. Do you feel that this is an issue, and also the prototyping you're creating for these companies?
So we indeed start with a proof of value. I don't want to use proof of concept. Concept is often used to show how technology works, but we think it's quite clear how the technology works. It's just, if does it bring enough value from a business perspective again? So it's a proof of value, and it's a first step. And then we aim to scale it further to grow the amount of parties connected, grow the functionalities in the solution until the envisioned solution is all there. So, well, now I lost my line, I had a second thought, but it's gone. So yeah, we indeed use a proof of concept approach. We built, well, proof of value approach. We built our first POV, and then we scale it further, aiming to help the company to grow along the way.
Yeah. Okay. And if we now zoom out a bit, and let's say we have the magic ball, and I know you like Lord of the Rings, so let's give it a shot. If you had like a magic wand to fix one misunderstanding about blockchain, what would it be? I'm very curious to hear how. And that's a difficult question again, but there's so much rumor and buzz around blockchain stuff. Like, you can fix one thing.
One thing, or
a combination. Let's be flexible. A combination of things.
It's a very interesting question, Stefan, and challenging indeed. One thing or even a combination of things isn't that much. I mean, even today, still the question about electricity use on Bitcoin is still something that pops up. And you're like, come on. We are so past this because in enterprise solutions, usually Bitcoin doesn't play such a role, so it doesn't matter that much. If anything, I would probably cut the ties between enterprise blockchain and the real cryptocurrency. I would say practices on exchanges and, well, basically the crypto casino. I put a coin in somewhere, I pull the trigger, and I will be rich. That's the thing I really would like to take apart. There is much valuable work done in DeFi, Arcadia Finance. Well, Thomas Berner with his work with his company in Brazil. Brazil, yeah. There's so many things done that really add value in DeFi, CeFi, traditional enterprise blockchain solutions. But still, if you read the newspaper, it's about the value of Bitcoin going up.
Oh, yeah.
And it doesn't add the value I would like to see from blockchain technology. If I could just cut that little part out of it,
yeah,
would make me a happy person. I really like the technology underneath and what is done, but I usually make one simple distinction. I talk and I work with the things that give people a paycheck, not with the things that will make people filthy rich if they're lucky. That's where I basically draw a line. That's also the part I would like to cut out.
I think this is also a bit why there's a misperception on blockchain and cryptocurrency, because a lot of people mix them and they say blockchain is cryptocurrency and cryptocurrency is an application on blockchain, but you can use blockchain for so much more. And like you said, national news and all the stuff, it's always about it's pumping or it's dumping. Yeah, I agree. And it's hard to build like a sustainable business on a technology that is also related to this volatile market. I think it will take time, and it makes a perfect bridge to what I wanted to ask you, like, as one of the biggest hurdles next to the technology side is this regulation and compliancy, because you've talked to a lot of enterprises, right? How do they look to regulation and compliancy? Because there is the crypto side of blockchain. And if they look to blockchain, they definitely will get the question, and is everything regulated? How are you going to do this? If you store assets or whatever, where is it stored? Is it self-custody or whatever? Is this an issue? If you talk to customers in the enterprise scene, that regulation and compliance hold them back to create the project, or what's your take on that?
I think the perceived impact of regulation and compliance is holding them back. Well, it used to be worse. We used to have no regulation at all. Today, there is MiCAR, there is more regulation coming. So it will be better, in my opinion, but I might have quite a different opinion from most other people there, having a legal background. I think that rules and regulation define the playing field, which means that on this playing field, you can be innovative without boundaries. The only boundary is a playing field. If you want to be outside the playing field, that's nice, but you do know that innovation will be harsh because nobody knows what you're playing or what you're doing there. You could be with darts outside the soccer field, but nobody will understand it and it will scare people. If you're with darts on the soccer field, it will also scare people, but somebody will give you, will remove you from the field. Or unless you invent a new game in which darts play a vital role too. So I'm a big fan of regulation, and I think the latest article from Paddy Hansen, he did an analysis on the financial sector, and he found out that most crypto-friendly banks today are in Europe because there's a regulation, because it helps them to say, okay, we can do this, we can't do that, we can't do that, so we can ignore everything outside the regulation. We can focus on what is allowed and make sure we do that better than anybody else. So I'm a huge fan of regulation, but I do know it increases the hurdle to jump in the scene. That's true. That's the challenge that in the end FinTech had as well. They thought they could eat the financial sector alive, but then it turned out that having a vast customer base actually is very valuable, and they became Tech for Fin, supporting financial companies in their innovation. And I think in the end that's not a bad thing. Another context to work in, but I think that regulations and compliance today help us more than they do stop us.
Yeah, I agree, actually, and also for sure for enterprises, because at the end of the day, you want to do secure, regulated businesses. You don't want to put your company on stake and indeed try something that fails, because this is indeed an important one. And I think the regulation issue is, again, between the cryptocurrency, the entire left side of cryptocurrency, and then the right side of businesses want to use blockchain technology as a distributed ledger. And then there's a mix. And we are also happy with clarity, because as technology providers, we want to deliver technology that fits within these regulations. So
indeed,
yeah,
indeed. It makes it easier to explain to customers what can be done and what can't be done.
True.
Say, yeah, we don't know. Maybe there will be regulation. Maybe there won't be. Let's see where we end up. It's not a good approach, in my opinion.
Like, to wrap up, I have two more questions for you. Like, if anyone wants to learn more about Fujitsu's Blockchain Lab, or where can they find you? What's your go-to?
Well, you can look us up on Google, of course. You can just contact me, and I'm happy to provide you more information.
Yeah, so LinkedIn.
You can find me on LinkedIn.
Yeah, I see a lot posting on LinkedIn about blockchain, so best is looking for Koen Vingerhoots in LinkedIn. We're also going to, of course, send a link or add a link to our description in the podcast that people can find
you.
And last but not least, do you have a final word of advice for our listeners from your point of view? Like, any final thoughts or things you're excited about in the world of blockchain?
Okay, a final thought first. If I look far ahead, for me, blockchain would actually bring us back a little bit to the Middle Ages, but then digital Middle Ages, where everybody is connected with everybody and we could exchange value for value without limitations, without borders. If I want to go to the shop and buy carrots, I don't need money with me. I could pay with a token I share of Apple for those carrots in the end. And I don't need anything for it. It can all be exchanged on chain through a number of steps. You just need to make sure it's there and that it's actually a final transaction. So for me, that's a bit the dream in perhaps 100 years, that we don't need money anymore, but we exchange value for value, whether it's work or services or actual goods. A question I often receive is, how do I start with blockchain? Well, I started with IT a long time ago with the book HTML4 for Dummies. I think it's still very valuable to read online, but to make sure you do not end up in an echo chamber of people that think the same as you. Keep your eyes and mind open for critics and criticism. I think it's very, very valuable to also know the other side or people that disagree with you. At least you can keep a more balanced opinion then. And when it's about enterprise blockchain, well, you have a vast website with a lot of information too. It's about governance and standardization blockchain, quite often forgotten. It's in the end easy. From a business perspective, it's actually easier than you think. On technology side, there is a lot of complexity with all the different technology offerings. Companies like you take that away.
Yeah,
tries to solve that business, that tech challenge by making it a more abstract layer. But from a business perspective, it's about governance and standardization. And those are things that resonate also on C-level. It's not about making coins and making people rich. If you talk about governance and standardization, these are things that are understood. Challenges, you need an ecosystem to support it. So you can't sit in your own office and expect everybody to standardize and accept your governance. You need to align with other parties, build the governance, build the standard, and then make processes more efficient. That's how I would like to see blockchain in the future.
Yeah, sounds great to me. Where can I sign? Where, like, this is cool. No, thank you so much, Koen, for your time. Like, I'm glad you were here and sharing all your thoughts on blockchain. And thanks a lot.
Thanks for having me, Stefan, and all the best with Venli.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this Start Blockchain podcast. I hope you enjoyed today's conversation about how blockchain can transform a business. If you're a company looking to explore how blockchain could add value to your existing processes, we'd love to hear from you. If you're ready to take the first step but aren't sure where to start, our Start to Blockchain Innovator program is perfect for businesses like yours. It's designed to guide you through the process with tailored consultations, platform credits to prototype your ideas, and expert support to help you succeed. Visit venli.io to learn more and apply today. And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast for more insights and stories from industry leaders. See you next time.